Blog Talk Radio.
It's 3 p.m., and I have a question for you. Do you know where your politicians are? Everything is political in your life, from the moment you're born to the moment you die. And when a politician tells you that's not true, look in your pocket. You'll find their hand in it. Everything is political. We will be talking to those politicians that are working for you and talking about those politicians that are working against you. Just because they're a Democrat, or just because they're a Republican, and you voted that way your entire life, maybe you were wrong. Because everybody is not what they seem to be. However, there are a few out there who are working for your benefit, and we are going to bring them to you. We're going to let you hear them. We're going to ask them questions. We're going to let you ask them questions. And we're going to be discussing education system, the military, science, music, sports, oh, and healthcare. Do you have it? Do you need it? Are your 26-year-olds still on the family healthcare plan? Or, as the regressive party says, Obamacare? We will bring you what you need to know, because this is the last word. And everything from the cities, counties, state, nation, the entire world. So sit down and get a pencil, paper, and take this graduate education experience. And we will make sure that you have the last word. My name is Michael Lawson.
You own or you control two major hotels in Vegas, one in Reno. The licenses were grandfathered in, so there was no problem with the gaming commission. Now, my sources tell me that you plan to make a move against the Tropicana. They tell me that within a week, you're going to move Clingman out. That's quite an expansion. However, it will leave you with one little technical problem. The license will still be in Clingman's name.
Turnbull is a good man.
Yeah, well, let's cut out the bullshit. I don't want to spend any more time here than I have to. You can have the license. Price is $250,000, plus a monthly payment of 5% of the gross. Of all four hotels, Mr. Corleone.
Now, the price for the license is less than $20,000, am I right?
That's right.
Now, why would I ever consider paying more than that?
Because I intend to squeeze you. I don't like your kind of people. I don't like to see you come out to this clean country in your oily hair, dressed up in those silk suits, and try to pass yourselves off as decent Americans. I'll do business with you, but the fact is that I despise your masquerade, the dishonest way you pose yourself. Yourself and your whole fucking family.
Senator, we're both part of the same hypocrisy. But never think it applies to my family.
All right. Some people have to play little games. You play yours. So let's just say that you'll pay me because it's in your interest to pay me. But I want your answer in the money by noon tomorrow. And one more thing. Don't you contact me again, ever. From now on, you deal with Turnbull. Open the door, sir.
And Senator, you can have my answer now if you like. My offer is this. Nothing. Not even the fee for the gaming license, which I would appreciate if you would put up personally.
Good afternoon, gentlemen.
Called in, so I have to be in the studio now. And since you can hear me, and I'm calling in to, you're connected. Okay, I'm connected. Okay, so I called in from my cell phone.
Okay.
I called into the studio. So we're both there. All right. Well, it's got to be this computer. Got to be. Can't be nothing else.
Offer no opinion. I don't know.
All right. There's one thing I wanted you to hear.
Yes.
Before you go, that Mueller Court, Manafort, and Gates,
well,
and Kaminsky,
Manafort,
who is the Russian agent, meeting at 666 Fifth Avenue at the Havana Bar, where the exchange of Trump's campaign information of everybody in all the states, where they met, who was more vulnerable, who was going to vote more, who was going to vote less, and given off to a Russian GRU agent.
Well, you know,
what do you think about that?
What I think, it's another piece of damning evidence. Russians everywhere, but not a drop to drink. They're all over.
Absolutely right. Well, so how can they now say no collusion?
Okay, Michael, they will keep saying that until there's a final conclusion to everything. They will all,
yes,
especially Trump, will continue to say no collusion, witch hunt, blah, 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 you know, because until he's brought up on charges and convicted, he will say the same thing. He's never going
Absolutely.
To admit anything. Ever.
Well, he can't afford to.
That's part of it.
He can't afford to. Yes.
At the end of the day, there are so many fires. There's so much smoke swirling around Trump. How can there not be a fire? It's coming from all directions.
Well, because he doesn't believe in fire, just like he doesn't believe in climate change.
He
said, if you, that fool out of Idaho brought a snowball into the Congress and threw it down and said, this is summertime. Why do we have snow? I mean, that's supposed to prove it. And he is the head of the Science Committee for the Republican Party.
I rest my case.
Emhoff, that's his name. That Emhoff is the dumbest. He is one. They have plenty, but he's one of the dumbest representatives from the House there is. Because I cannot believe that he doesn't know better. And this is a man who, I believe, he knows science.
Okay, but
that was his field.
But, Michael, here's the thing. Anyone who would say this and act this way is a sycophant tying his star to that of Trump. That's what that's all about. But here's the other thing. Given everything that we now know and all the smoke blowing in all directions, how can Trump still have, what I continue to hear, 80% support of the Republican voters? How can that be? It's mind-boggling.
Because they have now passed a threshold. They have now passed a threshold that they cannot go back. All these people that went down the drain
with Trump can never go back. They can never go back and claim this was all, we knew this. They all know this, but they can't all be wrong. That's what they're saying. We all can't be wrong, but the problem is they're not all. There's only about population that believe he's right.
Yeah, but listen to that. So that to me, yeah, a huge number, which I cannot comprehend as of today, February 15th. All the nonsense that Trump has been spewing the last 2 years, it's so difficult to believe that so many people continue to be fooled by a charlatan. It's mind-boggling.
Well, I don't believe that. I don't believe they continue to be fooled. I believe they know they're wrong, but they don't want to be made a fool of.
But they don't want to admit it.
They can't admit it. They can't.
So what you're saying is...
For 2 years, they've been wrong.
Okay, so what you're saying is they're in a deniability mode, and they
yes.
can't admit that they're wrong. They will continue to believe everything this guy says.
Right. You're right. They believe, and Trump's only hold card is that he is sent to the Senate for conviction, that he will be found not guilty. That's his only hope. But you see, it's just like this thing about the getting the money for the wall. His $5.6 billion. Not even his own party wanted it. It never came up in 2 years when he is president. So finally, the head of the Senate went to him and said, "You know what? I'll go along with you, but I got to put this on the present this in the Senate. I got to put it on the floor."
He knows it's going to wind up going to court. Trump is going to be challenged. He's going to lose. But all the Republicans are going down with Trump. They're all going down.
I think it's changed, though. I think it's changed. If that was the case, I don't believe the senator McConnell would have put it on the floor for a vote, because it showed now when he put it on the floor for a vote, there was 70% of the Senate did not go along with it, and that's more than if he was up on charges for all these statutes. You only need 2/3, 66. There was 72, I believe, that voted against him going to a national emergency. 72%.
Okay.
So the problem he has right now is, I believe that this is the first time that he hasn't had 90 to 100% vote for him.
Okay, and with that, I got to go.
Okay.
I'll catch you over the weekend. Take care.
All righty. Now, which I believe this is the first time that the Republican Party under McDonnell has challenged the president for who runs the country. There are three branches of government here, and the branches of government that the president thinks he runs, which is the executive branch. He has finally found out that he doesn't run legislative branch. He doesn't run the legislative branch. And if he doesn't run the legislative branch, he's lost. If they're not going to vote for him for what he wants, how is he ever going to get what he wants done? This man has taken quite a few things and thrown them all together. There were quite a few things that were said yesterday, and I believe one of them, which was said on Lawrence O'Donnell's show, I believe this is the end game for drugs.
Mitch McConnell delivered President Trump's surrender on the Senate floor. Ann Coulter tweeted, "There's no coming back from this. No emergency or presidential powers will allow him to build the wall ever after he signs this bill. Trump has just agreed to fully open borders." Of course, Trump did not agree to fully open borders, but Ann Coulter does seem to remember enough of her constitutional law classes to know that no emergency or presidential power will allow the president to build that wall ever. She is right about that. But is Ann Coulter speaking for any Trump voters not named Ann Coulter? The president was weakened today in more ways than Trump voters and probably anyone in the White House actually understands. Mitch McConnell turned the ship of the United States Senate around and started heading away from Donald Trump for the first time. When Donald Trump shut down the government, Mitch McConnell's position was he would not consider even bringing up a bill to a vote in the Senate if the president did not already approve of that bill while it was being negotiated.
We're not interested in having show votes here in the Senate. We're interested in bringing up something the House has passed, 60 senators will support, and the president will sign.
And that is all over. The constitutional truth of the matter is that the president only has as much legislative power as Congress decides to let the president have. This week, Mitch McConnell decided to take his power back from President Trump. Mitch McConnell agreed to a bipartisan legislative package without President Trump's approval, and then Mitch McConnell scheduled that bill for a vote on the Senate floor without President Trump saying that he supported that bill. And only when even President Trump's people could see that the bill Mitch McConnell was bringing to the Senate floor was going to get over 80 votes, only then did Donald Trump let Mitch McConnell announce that Donald Trump supports it. It's a whole new ball game in the United States Senate because of that procedure. Mitch McConnell decided he no longer needs Donald Trump's support to bring a bill to a vote, and that alone is a devastating blow to Trumpism in the United States Senate. On days like this, we need experienced political observers who can see the big picture in all the individual maneuvers of the day, and we have that in our next guests. Joining us now is John Heilman, National Affairs Analyst for NBC News and MSNBC. He is co-host and executive producer of Showtime's The Circus. Also with us, Rick Wilson. He's a Republican strategist and contributor to The Daily Beast. He's the author of the book, Everything Trump Touches Dies. John Heilman, this is the end of the line for Donald Trump's wall, and tomorrow in the Rose Garden, he tries to turn the corner, apparently on the emergency idea.
Yes, he will. He often claims victory when he loses. He often changes the subject when he loses. He will try to do both tomorrow. But I do think it's super important what you just said, Lawrence, in the long arc of this presidency. Think about the past two years and 2 months. We have not seen, on, I believe, any instance, except for possibly the original passes of Russia sanctions that the Congress did over Donald Trump's objection. Until now, we've not seen the Congress assert itself, certainly not the Republicans in the Congress assert themselves and say, "I'm sorry, we're done. The political consequences of sticking with you are too high until we were going to go about our business," until exactly now. And I think that is a watershed moment in this presidency, because to me, it is the most important math calculation of all math calculations that every United States senator has to do. Does it cost more to stick with Trump, or does it cost more to abandon Trump? And for 2 years and 2 months, the answer has been it would cost us more to abandon him. At this moment, on this issue, and potentially now on many more issues going forward, and some of great consequence and moment, including the existence of the Trump presidency, this will be the moment where Republican senators have figured out that there's a different math game in town, and that could be incredibly, incredibly bad news for President Trump.
Yeah, and Rick Wilson, we have the Washington Post report from the inside of this story leading up to where we are now. now, and they have the Republicans in the conference committee surrendering instantly on the Trump wall, not even attempting to get right. any kind of funding for that. That was just confirmed. That reporting in the Washington Post tonight was just confirmed by us by one of the conferees, Congressman Pete Aguilar, that when the wall came up, the Republicans did the Republicans in the House and the Senate in that conference committee didn't even fight for it, didn't even make a request.
Right. Lawrence, as John said, they have reached an inflection point in the Senate particularly where they know they have a very big field coming up in 2020 in the Senate side. It's the bad year for Republicans in 2020 in the Senate, and they recognize the damage they were taking from the shutdown and the damage that they'll take from this emergency and the constant drama over the wall, which does not appeal to the majority of American voters, even to a meaningful fraction of American voters, is causing them this enormous political radiation that they're absorbing. And you know, at some point in politics, everyone cuts bait and everyone says, well, you know, I want to save my seat. I want to save my own position here. And this guy is dragging us down. He's a boat anchor around our necks. And so they've decided tonight, at least, that they're going to show some spine. And I think that the reason that the president, who is desperate for any kind of fraction of an ability to claim a win on this, will go out tomorrow and basically in front of the cameras lie for half an hour and say, my beautiful, glorious wall is already 90% completed and this is a great victory and I can take this money from wherever I want. It's, of course, a fantasy, but, you know, he is certainly a guy who is prone to fabulism. And so I think we're going to expect tomorrow a fairly pathetic whimper to end this entire wall drama.
So, John, Mitch McConnell said before the shutdown, he said emphatically, there will not be a shutdown.
Right.
And he said that because as Senate Majority Leader, he knew he had the power to prevent it.
All along.
But then when Donald Trump did the
yep.
shutdown, Mitch McConnell went along with
yes,
it.
Yes.
Throughout the shutdown, senators were standing up there saying, you can bring a bill and we will pass it right okay. now. It increasingly toward the end, McConnell was privately telling the White House, there's 70 votes in
yes.
the Senate at least right now, a veto override margin for
yep.
anything that I would bring to reopen the government. Then Mitch McConnell says, you shouldn't use emergency power. He says it publicly. I don't want any emergency power used here. Now Mitch McConnell goes out on the Senate floor today and says he supports the president's use of the emergency power because that, for him, I believe, is the end game. The president will try to use the emergency power. He will be immediately stopped with an injunction
Correct.
In court.
Correct.
And then Mitch McConnell doesn't have to pay any attention.
Correct. For McConnell, again, a cost-free fig leaf for the president. If that's what it takes to make this all go away, Mitch McConnell can live with that. And I think that's exactly right. There's no question. There will be no national emergency. The courts will stop the president. And most Republicans, privately and in some cases publicly, think the emergency, national emergency, is a bad idea. I do want to say, though, just as I think it's super important, and Rick said something that I am inclined to say at various times, they found their spine. They didn't find their spine. What they found was they're now using a different algorithm to calculate their self-interest. That's all it's ever about with these people is their self-interest. And so to me, the reason this is significant is not about the shutdown. It's not about the wall. It's an answer to the question of people who have been asking us for 2 years. There's no way Trump will ever be impeached and convicted in the U.S. Senate because they have no guts, they have no spine. And I keep saying, it doesn't have anything to do with guts and spine. It has to do with when does the moment come when Republicans do a different math. And the math says, which we are free to leave Trump because if we stick with him, it costs us more. This is the first thing, an issue of policy, government funding, and immigration, where they have realized there's a different calculus. And I think that the important thing here is that this kind of thinking is the kind of thinking that leads them to challenge Trump on a variety of other things, again, not because of spine, but self-interest, and potentially to challenge him on the question of his entire presidency, because it's not going to be about spine or principle or caring about America. It's about them being able to keep their jobs.
We have already run through one commercial break on this breaking news. We're going to have to get to one now. John Heilman, Rick Wilson, thank you both for joining us.
They're really going crazy on Twitter about this Ann Coulter speech here. They're really going nuts over it. When I was saying that the GOP lawmakers relatively quiet after Trump's emergency declaration early warning him against. They're not going to go down. As I said before, and I played the end game, it's all going to go downhill. it's all going to go downhill. Everyone that has not been a part of trying to end this is going to go with them. They're going to go with them. And that's a problem that we have. And joining us right now is, from the Left Pulse, Mr. Michael Evans. How are you, sir?
Good afternoon. How are you?
Please, you don't even want to ask. We didn't get on to a quarter to. And I am calling into the studio. Mm-hmm. So I can be, but I called into the studio, then put the studio on hold and had to call in with my cell phone because the whole left side, I think I'm going to talk to you about this, is all out on my computer. The HDMI, the USB, and my sound. But I had one of my associate producers call in. He's from Toronto, and he was going to give us some splish-splash on how Canada is talking about this nut job here. And did you hear that? So my computer, as I texted you before, I'm getting a new one. I should get it this week. Okay. He called in the wrong number. That's who, that's the other guest that's calling you now. But anyway, as I was saying, Ann Coulter, did you hear about what she just tweeted?
What did she tweet?
Michael. She tweeted, the only emergency problem that the U.S. has is the president because he's an idiot.
Ann Coulter tweeted that?
That, yes. Now, did you hear his speech today? When he was trying to, well, here's our guest calling in here. Hold on a minute. Yes. Mr. Ned Narang is now with us, joining the show.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Mr. Ned Narang, how are you? I've been trying to get you on here for 100 years.
Well, I'm here. Mike, take advantage of the situation.
Take advantage of the situation? Now, I don't like taking advantage of any situation. Ned, you know me better than that.
Yes, go ahead.
Don't even say that. Don't even say that. Anyway.
Right.
The story is, what we were just discussing, on the line with us is Mr. Michael Evans, who used to be the chair of the Democratic Party here in Mecklenburg County. Can you hear him? Okay. Can you hear Ned?
Yes.
Speak, Ned.
Yeah, I can. I mean,
okay.
I think I just heard Mike. I just heard Mike.
Yes. Okay. Well, here's the story.
Yeah.
Ann Coulter has just tweeted in. Did you hear her tweet?
I heard that she was very disappointed at what Trump did. Yes, I did hear that.
Well,
but I didn't see the tweet, didn't hear it, but I did hear about her negative reaction to Trump.
Well, it wasn't just negative. She says the only problem that the U.S. government has is the president of the United States.
Correct.
Because he's an idiot.
Well, that's fine. That's one opinion, and that's fine.
But you see, now this is what I want, because you have an opinion.
Yes, I do.
Yes. I want to know why. Why would Ann Coulter, who is actually her and Sean Hannity, they're actually running the presidency.
Well,
why would she say this about the person?
And Rush Limbaugh.
And Rush Limbaugh, right. You're right. And Rush Limbaugh. It's a threesome.
Yeah.
Why are they, because I'd say threesome, normally you would say foursome, but since he has nothing to say about it.
Yeah.
Why is she saying that he's an idiot and she helped put him in there, besides the Russians?
All right. So do you want me to go or Mike?
Yes. No. I'd like you to answer.
All right. Well, my first immediate reaction to that is if she's calling Trump an idiot, that's because I feel she's an idiot herself. Okay? Now, let me finish. And so when we had the government shutdown, you know, she accused Trump of backing down when he said, okay, we're going to reopen the government. She accused him of being a wuss, a weakling, you know, for backing down. Now, I think that was idiotic of Ann Coulter to say that, because let's face it, I mean, the people that are suffering are the American people, the federal workers that were not getting paid, and air traffic controllers, and lines were getting long, and TSA was, you know, just not able to cope with it. So she was totally wrong there. I think Trump did the right thing by finally saying, we're going to open up the government. Now, she's, you know, she's calling him an idiot for the fact that, you know, he accepted a much lower amount. Instead of the 5.7, he expected, agreed with $1.4 billion. And so she's basically calling him an idiot because of that, that he shouldn't have done that. I don't agree with that at all.
Mm-hmm. Okay,
because he had
fine.
No choice. Trump had no choice but to take this deal. There was no other way out. Now, he didn't want to he didn't want to shut down the government again, because that would be a disaster. Trump himself would look so bad, it would be bad for the country, so that was not an option, right? And so he had no choice but to say, okay, we're just going to have to accept this deal. But he's also manipulating other ways to find the extra money to build the wall. So I think it's going to be a win-win in the end.
Okay. Now, Michael, what do you think about that?
Well, you know, he got more money than the Democrats in Congress said they were going to give him for the wall. So he got a victory there. And then in terms of the shutdown, that's just, again, him acting like a child. The only discussion about the wall should be taking place between Trump and the government of Mexico. This has nothing to do with the American people or the American government.
Okay. Well, let me respond if I can. Pardon me?
Go ahead.
Yeah, okay. You know, I do know that when the campaign was going on, Trump said, okay, we're going to build a wall and we're going to get Mexico to pay for it. So Michael, I'm assuming that that's the point you're making here. It should be between Trump and Mexico. Now, you know, that's fine. Now, I agree there's a little ambiguity there when he said Mexico is going to pay for it, but I think the point behind that was that when the wall is built, we are going to be able to stop all this drug trafficking, the human trafficking, the sex sex trafficking that's coming across the border, and the savings there itself would then pay for the wall. And so that's the rationale that they're using. You know, if I could just get into, you know, just the basic fundamental of, you know, why is it that people are opposed to the wall? And why do we want to build a wall? I mean, obviously, we want to build a wall to stop all these, and there are also crimes that are being committed by these illegal aliens coming across. Now, why is it that
in the world?
Can just finish the point. Why is it that the left says? Here's the fundamental question. Why is it the left says we don't want a wall? I mean, basically, the left is saying we want open borders. I mean, look, you know, and then there's issues about, you know, they have children, this and that. My basic premise to this whole thing is, wait a minute, whoever is coming across, it could be Europeans, it could be, you know, anybody. It's not racial at all. The point is, it's illegal. I mean, that's the bottom. I don't know why people don't talk. It's illegal. They're going against the laws of the United States. I don't care what they say about the caravans. It's illegal.
It would. So it is your position that if you do something illegal, you should be held accountable?
Well, now, Mike, what do you think? We have laws in this country, right? And so, therefore, if somebody is going against the laws of the country, they're committing an illegal act. Obviously, the repercussions.
All right. I want you to go start arresting farmers in the Southwest and rich people in Beverly Hills, and because they're violating the law. They're hiring undocumented workers.
Oh, undocumented workers. Well, I think, you know, that's a fair point. I think when, you know, they do something like that and they're caught, yes, I agree. They should be held accountable. I mean, I'm not saying that that should go unpunished if you're hiring an undocumented worker. But how are they undocumented? That's because they're coming across the border illegally. Well, my goodness, shouldn't it be simple to say, you know, I don't care who you are, I don't care what color your skin is, you are committing a crime by trying to come into this country illegally. You know, there are thousands and thousands of people that come into this country legally, and they have to wait for years, you know, to get a proper immigration status. I mean, why should these people, you know, be allowed to come into this country?
So you're making the argument for comprehensive immigration reform.
Well, yes, I am. We should have we should have comprehensive immigration reform. But right now, the laws on the books say you have to apply for immigration legally and come through the legal channels, even at the border. Come through the ports of entry and apply for legal immigration. And if you want to apply for asylum, fine. You know, we shall do it legally. But you just can't stream across in caravans.
Can I interject one thing?
Yeah.
I'll let you go on. You know what they do with the Cubans that get here. What do they call that?
If they put
one foot on U.S. soil,
yeah,
they stay. Why give that to the Cubans and not to anybody else?
Yeah, I missed the point, Mike. You're saying if Cubans put one foot on this soil, then what happens?
They can stay. They automatically have protection. They automatically have protection and
they
asylum.
They have a path to citizenship.
Okay.
And they have a path to citizenship.
Now, are you saying they're coming in where? Through Miami or where?
Any part of the land of the United States.
Now listen. Okay, fine. I mean, I hear what you're saying. I have never heard that. I have never heard that, you know, a Cuban can come in illegally. I've never heard that.
Okay.
In fact, I find
but
it hard to
you've
believe.
You've never heard that.
It's not illegal.
You never heard that, but that means it can't be true, right?
No, that's not what I'm saying. I'm saying is it makes no sense to me that if we're stopping people at the southern border for coming in because they're coming in illegally, that we're allowing, on the other hand, Cubans to come in illegally. I mean, it just doesn't compute.
Okay, you're absolutely correct. Do you know the reason why they let them stay in Cuba? I mean, let them stay here in the United States? Because the majority of them vote Republican.
Yeah. Okay. You know, let me take that point. Okay. By the same token, why the left wants open borders for all the influx of the Central Americans and whoever, but it has nothing
why
to do
you
with race.
Our position
no one ever said that.
No.
Where
wait,
did you
wait. Now
from?
I have heard this, Mike. Let me finish. I have heard this counter argument.
You heard? Where is it in writing anywhere?
Okay, well, I've never seen in writing anywhere that Cubans are allowed to come in illegally, but let me finish my point. The reason that the left allows or wants open borders on the South is to be able to get all these people in here illegally so they can vote for the left.
You can't vote illegally.
Well,
no,
people
that,
are...
Do you think this is a 25-year strategy?
Mike, you just said something. You can't vote illegally. Do you know that right now we have people that are voting? I mean, there are dead people voting. There are people that are not citizens that are voting. That's documented. I mean, we have that all over.
Where's it documented at?
Well, you cannot prove to me that what you're saying about Cubans is documented.
Yes. Is it called the Wet Foot Act or the One Foot Act? What's it called, Michael?
Michael,
I'm not sure what
what's
the
that called?
It is, but I'm not sure what the next method is, but I know you're correct about it.
Yeah. And you see, if you only listen to the propaganda that comes out of WBT, or the you'll never know about that.
Yeah. Well
not Rush. Anybody in WBT, they're all the same. But
right.
It's cool. But you need to find out why they permit that. And I'm
okay.
telling you, that's the reason why they do.
Well,
because
then,
they hated Castro.
Right.
So much because he's communist, he's with the Russians. Anybody that escaped from Cuba across that 90-mile stretch, which is the closest part of Miami, I forgot where it's at. Is it Miami? What's that close spot? If they get across there in a boat, they can stay. 1 foot, it's called wet foot or 1 foot. I forgot what it's called.
Okay, so
there may be a difference. There may be, wait a minute, there may be a difference between illegally and
wet foot. It's called wet foot, dry foot. It's called wet foot, dry foot.
Okay.
That means 1 foot on the land.
Yeah, I'm not aware of that, but that if that is true, it could be a case of providing asylum to these people.
Yes, that's what asylum is.
Right, right. And, but that's
they're not allowing asylum in Mexico.
No.
When
no,
you come across the border.
Well, they're allowing it if you come through legal ports of entry and apply
not.
For asylum.
No, they're not.
Well, stopped it. Yeah, but Mike, listen. The bottom line is this:
yes,
you've got thousands and thousands of people in just walking, trying to walk across, and try to get into this country illegally. Well, the obvious answer is no, hell no. So therefore, we got to have barriers.
No. It's not that we have to have barriers. What you're saying is we don't want thousands of people coming across who don't have paperwork. Yes, but there are people coming up from Central America who we know the country is starving them and killing them.
Yeah, well, you know, and that's
fine. That was going on in Cuba? But isn't that the same thing that was going on in Cuba?
Wait,
we didn't have to have papers?
But let me finish the... Well, wait a minute. You just mentioned the point about, you know, thousands of people coming across that are starving, that are being deprived and so forth. By the same token, there are, I'm sure, hundreds of people that are coming across that are criminals, that are drug addicts, that are sex offenders.
Why would you say that?
You're breaking up.
Okay. Why would you say that there's hundreds of thousands of criminals coming across?
Well, because listen,
hundreds of thousands of criminals in the whole area.
Wait. I mean, it's so obvious. First of all, we know we have a lot of drug trafficking and crime. El Chapo was just recently, you know, arrested, and now he's in prison for life. But anyway, we know we have drugs coming across the border. We know that, right? And so therefore, we know that in this thousands and thousands of people coming, there's got to be a mixture of people. What?
Let me say this to you, Ned. The wet foot, dry foot policy is a former interpretation 95 revision of the application of the Cuban of 1966. It essentially says that anyone who emigrates from Cuba and enters the United States would be allowed to pursue residency a year later.
Mm-hmm. Well, okay.
Anyone.
I don't know if that's true, but if that is the case, fine.
Look at the media, it will tell you.
What? No, but I was saying
it's true. Yeah, go ahead. Go ahead.
No, I was saying if that is true, then we have some laws that say, okay, if you're coming from Cuba and you're deprived and you're under, all kinds of issues in your homeland, and then so therefore you come and we will give you asylum. I mean, there's a policy, there's a procedure with laws stating how you can do this. But here on the southern border, we just got people coming in droves, you know, and each day there's another caravan that forms and says we're coming in. But listen, I mean, Mike, it's this simple. It's illegal. I mean, so you got to stop it, and there's got to be laws about how they enter. Like the Cuban thing you're saying.
It's not illegal to come to the border and request asylum.
No, right. I agree. It's not. And therefore, there are laws for that. But here there are people, if you didn't have some border security, they would just walk in. Right?
But that's what they're doing down there from Cuba. They're just walking in.
Well, I mean, I think we should stop comparing.
The 19th also says, after a year, you have residency.
Right. But you know, why is it, okay, regardless of what, why is it that the left is just opposed to, you know, they're saying, okay, well, you can have technology. You know, you can have some drones and everything else, but you cannot have a wall. I mean, What is it with the left saying you can have? And by the way, let me get this. This is an important point. Back in 2006, 2009, 2015, every one of the left. I mean, let me finish. Barack Obama, Hillary Clinton, Chuck Schumer, all these people actually said that yes, we need to have barriers. We need to have something to control immigration. We cannot. Obama said it as clear as day because I saw the clip. You know, he said you cannot have people coming in just, you know, walking into the border. We've got to control our borders. First of all, do you accept what I'm saying? Because it's out there in public for people to see. Now, why did they change the women? Why did they change their position now? I mean, just a few years ago, they were They were actually making statements that sounded like Donald Trump. And now it's all changed. Why? Because they hate Trump. And they will do anything they will even try to hurt the country if it means they can get rid of Trump.
All right. Did you ever hear the Mario Boatlift?
But let me answer this question, Mike. Why is it that these left politicians made those statements just a few years ago, and now they're reversing it?
They're not reversing anything.
Mike, I've seen clips of Obama and Hillary Clinton. They have said we cannot have people come across the border. We've got to control our border. We've got to have security measures.
They never said we cannot have people come across the border.
Illegally.
Okay. Well, I would say that too.
Well, then, yeah, but all of a sudden, back then, they were for a barrier. That's what I'm telling you. They actually said, Obama said it, Hillary Clinton said, we need a barrier of some sort to prevent illegal immigration.
Yes, of course.
Now they changed it.
Not no steel, beautiful fence with a big door on it. Let me just read you something. Did you ever hear of the Mario Boatlift? Oh, okay. Well, see, between 1960 and 1980, hundreds of thousands of Cubans entered the United States under the Attorney General's parole authority. Many of them arrived in boats, a mass immigration of asylum seekers called the Mario Boatlift. It was 125,000 Cubans, 25,000 Haitians to Southern Florida in a 6-month period. And these people, have you?
Mike, the point you're making is something that happened 40 years ago, okay? And we keep talking about comparing women.
So what?
No, but we keep talking about comparing to Cuba. I mean, I want to know the answer to what I just asked. The Democrat big stream mainstream politicians stated they wanted a barrier. They stated they wanted a barrier. Why do they change?
Yeah, no. You are just getting the clips that you wanted to hear, or this is what you were told. And it was what you were told because you didn't even know about the Mario boat lift.
Yeah, but the Mario boat lift order was 40 years ago. I mean, let's get off that.
It's still a process. It's still working.
Yeah,
anybody that comes from can 1 foot, wet foot, dry foot. They get on the land, they are here. And a year later, they have U.S. residency.
Yeah. Well,
it's still the case.
Okay. Yeah, again, I've never heard that.
That's what I'm saying. That's what I'm saying. You can't take one thing out of the context because the people coming from the southern border because the president of the United States said so. He doesn't even know about the Mario Bros.
Let's just look at it this way, okay? First of all, your phone is breaking up, or I can. I mean, your voice goes in and out. We may have a bad connection, but you know, let's just. I mean, regardless of what happened then, okay? It doesn't matter. I mean, let's just say something. No, I'm approaching it from just a common sense standpoint, okay? Regardless of what, you know, the politicians fight about, just common sense. Why should the U.S. allow thousands of people to just walk into this country? Why? And it's an illegal act. Why should we allow it? And so we have to stop it. What?
Yes, but they're coming through the port of entry.
No.
Have to let them in.
Mike, what? That is agreed. They are saying that if you want to come in through the ports of entry. But you know, we got these thousands and thousands of caravans coming in illegally through non-ports.
They're
of
not
entry.
Illegal. They're coming here asking for asylum.
Do I?
That's
No.
They're
see, asylum. Is fine. If they're asking for asylum, we go through the legal process of saying, okay, you apply for asylum, it'll probably take some time before we can review your application. This is the legal approach. Now, if you want to change the laws, that's different, but the laws on the books right now say if you want to apply for asylum, there's a legal process. That's not the question. I'm not even disputing that. I'm disputing across this huge border, people are just walking in. Common sense says we got to stop it. And how do you stop it? Pardon?
No. They're not going to stop it. Did you see the tunnels that El Chapo dug under there? People
now, Mike,
hundreds of people can live under there.
Yeah,
they didn't go to any wall.
But see, now you're going into what if they go around and do – we've got to take a stand somehow. We've got to make it difficult. You're probably even with walls, you're not going to make it 100% foolproof. I agree. But you've got to start. I mean, people are going to find a way around it. I agree. But it'll slow them down. And so we got to start the process.
Okay. All right. I was – you know how much you slowed them down? El Chapo got brought into this country 250,000 pounds of drugs.
Yeah. Oh, okay. Mike, you just said it. Listen. You just said it. They brought in all these illegal drugs, selling them for millions of dollars. You just said it. People from the southern border are bringing in lots of drugs. We got to stop it.
Okay. That was through the tunnels that they built.
I understand, but everybody is not in El Chapo.
And you know what? The thing is that the biggest capture of all was done through the port of entry.
Well, see, now we can – okay, but listen – okay, let's say what you're saying is – what are you saying?
They caught a truckload.
Okay.
A truckload
offload.
All right. So what are you saying? So, Mike, what are you saying? It was done at the port of entry. Therefore, you know, we don't need any barrier at all. Is that what you're saying?
No, I never said that.
But you're saying it's done at...
It's not the people coming in.
What
that fool Stephen King said, that they have the cans like cantaloupes. That is not true. They're coming through trucks. They're coming through planes. They're coming through submarines. That's where the drugs are coming through. They're not coming from people who are running from crime-ridden villages in Central America.
Well, you know, whatever there is crime coming in. There is drugs coming in, you know, from the southern border. We know that. So we have to control it. Now, you know, if they're coming in through submarines, you know, coming in on the East Coast or something, that's a separate issue. But the southern border has to be protected. Do you agree or not?
Yes.
I
asked one specific question, why they allow the Cubans to come in still.
Okay.
They're allowed to come in still.
Okay.
And you haven't given me a reason why that's okay.
Listen.
They're not coming through a border.
Yeah.
They're not coming through a border.
Well, listen. First of all, I told you up front, I don't know. If you're saying they do,
okay.
I don't know that they're coming. I've actually never heard this, that Cubans are just walking. Wait a minute.
When you finish this conversation today, I want you to go online and look up wet foot, dry foot.
Okay, right. And if it's still happening, hopefully it's not, but if it's still happening, then that's an issue of, you know, why? Why are you allowing Cubans to come in illegally? Now, maybe it's not illegal. Maybe they're coming in and applying for the proper, going through the proper laws to get into the country. I mean, I'm not – see, again, I don't know.
There's no border down there.
Okay, but listen.
See,
that's – listen, that is a separate issue, and I don't know if it's true, but if that is true, fine. But now what about
–
okay. So what are you saying? So what are you saying?
I want to say now that there is a major reason why the Republicans want the Cubans to come in and the they're not the people that are coming in here. It's the people from Central America that are coming here, not Mexicans.
Yeah, and so the main reason. Okay, so the main reason the Cubans are coming in is what? Because the Republicans feel that they're going to vote for them. Is that right?
No, because they can't vote right away.
Yeah,
they
got to
get citizenship first.
Well, right.
But they will.
Eventually. Eventually they're going to vote. I mean, that's what you just said.
Go ahead.
I mean, isn't that what you just said, Mike, that eventually they'll be able to vote Republican, and that's why the right is letting them in, right? That's what you just said.
Okay.
Beginning
in the United States, Cuba thaw in 2014, anticipation of the end of the wet foot, dry foot policy led to increase of Cuban immigration. On January 12, 2017, President Barack Obama announced the immediate cessation of the wet foot, dry foot policy. At the same time, the Cuban government agreed to accept the return of Cuban nationals.
Wonderful.
So it stopped in 2017. But
great. So that's resolved.
It's still
going
on. No, they stopped it legally.
Yeah, legally.
But illegally, it's not.
Okay, well, so then illegal people are coming in. Fine. I mean,
yes.
You know, I'll look into that. So that's happening. That's probably happening on the East Coast because Cuba is like right off of Miami, right? And so from the Florida Keys, they're probably coming. Anyway, whatever it is, but I just want to concentrate on the southern border from a common sense standpoint.
Okay.
Yes or no, do we not need border security to prevent illegal?
Yes. But you see, this isn't the 15th century or the 12th century. We don't need a wall. We have all sorts of electronics now.
Like
that
what?
Can see any that, what?
Yeah,
Come
like
on.
What?
You work for IBM. You don't think IBM knows anything?
Yeah.
Please,
now,
stop
now listen,
that.
I know what you're saying, technology. You can have eyes,
technology.
You can have drones, you can have electric you know,
absolutely.
Type of fences or whatever, right? Okay.
Absolutely.
Okay.
Absolutely.
They are not foolproof, okay? And so
they're
I think
not,
and
not,
let me say this. Well, let me say where we do have walls, it's what, for instance, you've heard this in San Diego. Before we had walls, it was in now the illegal immigration has been cut by a huge percentage just because we have a wall there. And the same thing in El Paso.
Good. I'm glad you got there because I have the statistics on that.
Okay.
Do you realize that when they put up the wall, the immigration went up over 3,500?
Well, see, now you're quoting facts from somewhere that, you know, I'm not. So I don't know whether to believe that or not.
Oh, yeah. Well, that's right. See, you're quoting the facts from what your boss said, Mr. Trump. I'm quoting the facts from the FBI and the Homeland Security.
Yeah. Well, who do we – I mean –
that's the fact. And
well,
when,
okay.
And when today – when the reporter said, well – sir, I'm getting this information from Homeland Security. He said, "Oh no, my Homeland Security tells me something else."
Yeah.
Well, he's got his own Homeland Security.
Hey, let me give you a funny example. Let me give you a funny example of this topic. There was Jim Acosta from CNN, right? And
yes.
Yeah, he was they showed a clip of him. He was down in you know, on the southern border. I'm not sure exactly where, but he was walking across on the US side with the backdrop of this wall, and there was nobody around, and he said, "Oh, I'm down here in the southern border, and there's this wall, and it's very calm. There's nothing happening. It's just as calm as it can be." Now, you ask me, what was the point of CNN showing this? Because you know, the other news media turned it around and said, "Well, of course, Jim. There's no disturbance here, nothing at all. It's quiet because there is a wall, and that's why everything is quiet." So it got turned around on him.
Michael, what do you have to say?
Mm-hmm. Well, there's so much to say.
Michael.
First off, there is the border security and the border wall. They are two very different things. We do not need a wall. Walls have not worked throughout history. And most of the people coming to the border now are coming for asylum. We had gotten to a point of almost zero crossings of the border for people coming here for work during the Obama administration. And the way we're going to solve this problem isn't to build a wall, is to create a Marshall Plan for Latin America. And so we need to help build their economies so that we can build the regional economy. And that will also make us stronger in the world markets against China and, well, primarily China.
So what do we do right now with all these caravans? What do we do right now?
Most of them are coming seeking asylum. We should go through the process, and we should facilitate that process given the number that are coming.
Okay,
and
fine.
We absolutely, under no circumstances, should be separating families.
Okay.
Absolutely.
Wait a minute. I agree with that. But if these people try to come into this country illegally, and you know what? There are cases where they actually, on purpose, get hold of kids to allow them to come into the country because they're saying, "We got kids, you can't separate us, we want to come in." So, Michael, you know, those things are going on too.
But
so
they separated them anyway.
What?
They separated them anyway.
Well,
and
that
some
did
of these
happen.
Kids will
that,
never get back with their parents.
Well, you know.
Whose idea was that? Nobody wants to admit it.
Yeah, well, the Trump administration learned from that and said, yes, we're not going to do that anymore. Okay, so they're not doing it anymore. And I agree, you know, families shouldn't be – but people who are using kids as blackmail, you know, to get into the country, because that's happening. But, you know, but okay, fine. You know, it's true. It's true that people are coming in to seek asylum. Fine, I agree. But there are also many, many people coming in that are just coming in illegally to get into the country without any papers, you know, and yes, that some of them do have drugs. And because it's a historical fact that drugs are pouring in.
Listen, you know what? If you're correct, why did this semblance of administration cancel half the judges who review immigration cases? Why did they do that? If they wanted more people should see an immigration judge so they can get in this country or not get in this country. What he did was cancel half the judges on the East Coast and the West Coast.
East Coast and West Coast?
What is that? Yeah, East Coast where they come in from port of entry and the West Coast on port of entry.
Oh, you mean
that
on the southern border?
The whole southern border. That's correct.
Uh-huh. Okay. You know,
why did he cancel half the judges?
You know, I remember Trump saying this, actually, that he said, you know, in other countries, when people try to come in illegally, they're turned away immediately. No legal process, no nothing. You get the H out of here. That's what other countries.
You're absolutely
now, here
but that
in
wasn't
the,
my question.
No, but I may answer it. I'm answering it. So, but here, you know, it's like they come in, and yes, we've got to go through a legal process that takes years and years of, you know, court time, and it'll be hung up in the courts and so forth. I mean, our process, you know, is so sometimes in favor of the criminals, it's pathetic. I mean, and so it'll be tied up for years. Now, that
keep,
is still.
Why do you keep saying? Why do you keep saying that? But all these people are criminals. Come on,
well,
now stop it.
Some of them.
You're
some of them.
Trump.
Look, there isn't. It's just like.
You used a blanket statement. All these criminals.
Well, I said, look,
just like,
remember when he stopped immigration from the Muslim countries, you know, for some of the Muslim countries, had nothing to do with race. It had to do with the fact that there were terrorists, you know, incorporated in these groups, and we knew that. So he said, I'm going to put a stop to this.
But you used the thing that all these people, if one person is a terrorist in a group of 100, they're all terrorists, right?
No, I never said that. But how do you determine who those terrorists are? How do you determine that? So therefore you have to control.
That's the job of our inspectors.
Yes.
That's what they get paid for.
That's right. And so he said that before we can, you know, allow these people to come in, they have to be vetted properly. We just can't allow them to come in blanket.
Of course. No one's saying that. That has always been done. But getting back to why did the president get rid of half the judges on the East Coast and the West Coast?
Okay. Well, you mean liberal judges? You mean liberal judges?
No. You see, I'll ask it again. Why did he get rid of half the immigration judges at the ports on the East Coast and the West Coast?
Okay. You're saying
if he wants people to come in, let me finish. If he wants people to come through the port correctly,
why did he
do that?
Okay. You're saying that he fired.
I didn't say he fired anybody. No, he didn't fire anybody.
What did he do?
He transferred them to another place, like Canada. We got to have immigrants.
Now listen.
And they have, by the way, they have the biggest coast almost in the world.
Okay.
Canada, United States.
Let me, the other Michael. Michael, were you aware that this happened?
About the judges?
The judges that he transferred them. He didn't fire them, according to Mike here. He didn't fire them.
He can't. They work for the government. He can't
fire
them.
So did
why would you transfer them away from immigration? in if there's a crisis.
Yeah, but
that's the question I'm asking.
No. I'm asking the other Michael if you were aware of what Mike Lawson is just saying.
No, I wasn't aware of it, but you just confirmed it.
Who confirmed it? I didn't confirm it.
You said they moved the judges elsewhere.
No, that's what Michael Lawson just said.
That's what I just said.
That's
the
what Michael Lawson just said. I didn't confirm it because
to make it. And they first started in Mexico, the Mexican court, because he wanted the people to say it takes us too long to get inspected. So the people would turn away. That he did the same thing. The other part of that was separating the children from their parents so people would not come.
Well,
that's why he did that.
Now, about the judges thing, Mike, I'm like, by the way, Michael, what's your last name, the other Michael?
Evans.
What is it?
Evans.
Emmett. Okay. But anyway, so Mike Lawson.
Evans.
Now, first of all, I'm like the other Mike. I wasn't aware that, in fact, I didn't know he was doing this.
You're very unaware of a lot of things that's going
well,
on.
Well, no. That has nothing to do with it. The point is, I mean, sometimes I think you make statements just to make them, and I don't know if they're credible or not. But regardless, I mean, if he actually did that, my only thought process would be that it's taking so long to go through the immigration process here, and we can't just let our court systems be tied up. I mean, these people are coming in illegally. We got to hurry up. So, and I bet you all these judges, e-transfer, if what you're saying is true, have to be left. Democrats.
Let's look at your argument here.
I don't know. I don't know. Mike, I don't know what argument you're making.
First of all, the first argument I'm making is that you need to find out some more facts and listen to some other places instead of to Rush Limbaugh. That's
well,
right,
but Mike, I could tell you the same thing. I could tell you the same thing.
I listen to every channel because I have a show and I need to know what the other person is saying.
Well,
you
fine,
don't.
Fine, but
the second thing is, the second thing is that he did this. He transferred judges because he wanted to be so slow that people would turn around and go home.
Okay, fine. If that is the case, I agree. Why do you want to come in illegally? Isn't that what the border is for? Isn't that what the wall is for?
They weren't coming in illegally. These people don't see these judges. These people are for, they're showing the reason why they had left their homes. They're showing a reason. The people who are coming in illegally aren't doing that.
Yeah, but Mike, listen, we can get into all kinds of tangents about why this and he did that and the Cuban thing and all this. The bottom line is the main point of discussion is securing the border. And why is Trump building a wall? I mean, that seems to be the issue. Why is he building a wall? Now,
you don't even know why he's building the wall, why he even said it. Why do you think he even said that?
Well,
he ran for office. Why did he say it?
He said we're going to build a wall to secure our borders.
What? That was his slogan when he ran. But you know, that wasn't a slogan. They put it in his notes.
Well,
a wall.
But what?
That's
whatever.
All it was. It wasn't to build. Wasn't to get aliens out of here or drug smugglers. This was something to remind him because he's such a knucklehead, he would forget about it.
Yeah. Well,
what happened was that the people didn't forget about it.
Yeah.
And they held him to it. So now he has to do it.
Right. Well,
now he has to do it.
I don't know if I agree with that theory.
But that's the fact. People are saying it.
Right.
They're writers who wrote him.
Well, I did – now, okay, I will say that I do agree that I did hear that it was part of his campaign slogan to build the wall. I did hear that. And he followed too with it. So I will take that. But the point is, he, regardless of what Trump thinks, but of course he believes in it, but I do too. I feel like we need to secure the border. And my approach is that I believe walls work. What? What's that?
Michael? Securing the border is a different issue than the wall.
Well, I knew you were going to say that. So now it depends on – I mean, the point is, how do you secure the border? So now we can argue about, you know, is technology enough or a combination of wall and technology or what? So that's a different argument. But we should all agree that – and I think Pelosi and Schumer, they do agree. We need to secure the border. But see, look, and here's my, you know, 2 cents worth of my theory, and that is that – that is that they will never agree with what Trump is saying, even if they believe it's right. They will never agree because they don't want him in office. So
that sounds like the Republicans and Obama, doesn't it?
see, there you go. Yes. Well, yeah. You mean like about the Obamacare deal and stuff like that?
Exactly.
Yeah.
Well, listen, we got a few minutes left, but I just wanted to make it perfectly clear here that the wall was only a metaphor. This is like a MacGuffin. A MacGuffin is?
Yeah, yeah.
You know what the MacGuffin is?
Yeah.
Okay, you know what the MacGuffin is? Okay. It meant nothing.
Yes,
this was
that's
something
true.
That he had, because he had no outreach and nothing to give the people to get elected. He had no platform because he didn't expect to win.
Yeah, I know.
So this is all something that, holy cow, what did I do? Well, they like the wall one. Let's continue on the wall one. The man, have you ever heard him say in any speech what he was actually going to do? Well, I'm going to North Korea, and I'm going to be talking to him. Well, we talked, and he liked it. And, well, what did you say?
Yeah.
Hey,
Mike. Yeah. Let me ask you about the format of your radio. For instance, like for the last 40 minutes or an hour, we've been talking about border security. Do you actually go to different topics, or do we just stick to one and continue with that? I mean, for instance, we could talk about, you know, foreign policy. We could talk about the economy. We could talk
Absolutely.
About deep state.
Listen, this is a particular thing here because he's not going to get the war. Everybody's going to turn him down, and he'll say, well, you see, I tried.
Well,
that's all he's going to say.
Well, now we're going to see, right? Now we're going to see, because he's declared a national emergency. It's the only approach left. It was to do that, and I think he had no other choice. He had to do it this way. He couldn't shut down the government again because that would actually reflect bad on him.
Why couldn't he just say, okay, why couldn't he just say, I lost this one. Better next time.
Well, because he feels strongly that we've got to secure the border, and he feels that
So you're telling me that between North Korea and South Korea, they built a big wall? There's no wall there.
No, there's a DMZ, but, you know, so.
What's a DMZ? What is that? Is that a wall?
No, it's not a wall. That's fine. There's no wall. But
what is the DMZ?
Demilitarized
zone. The DMZ is what?
It's the DMZ stands for demilitarized zone, right?
I know. What does that mean?
Well, that
there's
means,
a wall.
No, there's no wall. I agree. There's no wall. But at the same time, I mean, you don't see South Koreans wanting to go to North Korea, and they have so much security there, all their soldiers that North Koreans cannot go into South Korea either. I mean, their border is protected. And number two, you know, our border is like 2,500 miles long. I mean, we got a huge border, not like them.
It's not as long as theirs.
What's that?
Is it as long as North Korea and South Korea's?
No, ours is longer. Ours is much longer than North and South Korea. I mean, their border is not that long at all.
And a bullet travels too fast.
Bullet travels through what?
Very fast.
Oh, yeah. Well, that's right. So wait a minute, a bullet. So do you mean we should have soldiers at our border shooting bullets at the? My goodness, if that ever happens.
Well, didn't he say that? Why did he send troops to the border then?
To prevent them from coming into the country.
I don't know. Was it to fight them? This. Night
well,
tonight?
I mean. No, I mean, the first response is never to fire. It's to use force to prevent them from coming in.
What force?
The force. You know, you put up fences and you put up batons. I mean, you know, your presence there is enough to, you know, prevent them from coming in. And, yes, if they have to use physical force to prevent somebody, they're not going
to
shoot at them.
Well, then why send soldiers then? Why don't you just hire people to stay on the border?
Well, you got to have trained people, you know. You can't just have people that...
You do?
Well, yeah, you got to train them.
You can't train people?
Mike, now we're getting absurd. But anyway, hey,
no,
listen.
I'm saying, why did he send military soldiers? Military soldiers.
Yeah. Well,
the
again...
The only time you send military anywhere is because you're going to lose lethal force.
Well, that is not, I mean, now, if a soldier was standing there and he is facing somebody that's holding a gun at him, yeah, he's going to fire back for self-defense.
Well, I think the thing that we have here is very much a problem that he's not going to win, but
no.
We will see. We already got 15 seconds left. But
well,
we
now he's not
going to
win.
Back.
Now, wait a minute, Mike, he's not going to win, but they said the same thing when he was running for president, and he won.
Oh, right, okay. That's true. That's very true. So, anyway, I want to thank you because you have been a great guest, and Mr. Michael Evans, who is the chair out there in Fresno County, I want to thank you for coming and joining, too.
All right. Thank you, guys.
Thank
I
you.
Appreciate it. Thank you.
All right,
bye-bye.
Guys.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
I said that I would see you because I heard that you were a serious man to be treated with respect. But I must say no to you. And I'll give you my reason. But drugs is a dirty business.
Well, don't
it doesn't make any difference to me what a man does for a living, you understand? I have a sentimental weakness for my children, and I spoil them, as you can see. They talk when they should listen. But, come on. What's the matter with you? I think your brain is going soft. From all that comedy you're playing with that young girl, never tell anybody outside the family what you're thinking again.
Now, your new son-in-law... We give him something important.
Never. Give him a living, but never discuss the family business with him.
I was about to come up and wake you just now and tell you.
But you needed a drink first.
Yeah.
Now you've had your drink.
They shot Sonny on the causeway. He's dead.
I want all inquiries made. I want no acts of vengeance. I want you to arrange a meeting with the heads of the five families. This war stops now.